everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Southern Fried Podcast, a production of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. I'm Rex Nelson, senior editor of the Democrat Gazette, and really a pleasure today to have somebody that I've known for a while that I greatly respect and talking about one of my favorite subjects, as those of you who listen on a regular basis know, and that's the development of downtown Little Rock. Brian Hostow, many of you know, an attorney, got into the commercial real estate business, owner of the Haybar Group, an investment fund focusing on the acquisition, improvement, and disposition of all types of assets, including commercial real estate, and has become a real advocate for downtown. Brian, welcome. Good to have you talking one of our favorite subjects today.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Really wanted to pick your brain a little bit. We've devoted a number of recent shows to downtown Little Rock. Of course, we're sitting here at the corner of Capitol and Scott Street, right in the middle of downtown Little Rock, taping this right now. Just a little bit, though, because I don't take for granted that anybody listening to this, knows us, so I don't like to take that for granted. So a little bit about your journey growing up here in Little Rock, becoming an attorney, and then how you got into the commercial real estate business and the downtown focus that you now have.
Sure. Well, I'm from Little Rock. I grew up out Highway 10 area, out near where the new Bank OZK headquarters is.
Which is where I live now, as you know,
but
where I was stuck for 9 days recently.
Oh, yeah. But back then, we were way out in the country.
Yeah, very much so.
It's not so much in the country anymore.
Yeah.
But so I'm from here. My dad was a pharmacist, grew up out there, went to college at UALR, got a degree in business. Then after that, went into law school, opened my own firm after getting out of law school, practiced general practice for a few years, and then just kind of focused on building our law firm. And along the way, you mentioned getting into real estate. Mm-hmm. There was a couple of reasons for that. I had a partner, Chuck Buck, and Chuck and I decided we didn't have to have be in a big high-rise ivory tower, that we could be anywhere. And we found an old building that's now called the Rainwater Flat, or
yep,
it's a Rainwater Building next to the Rainwater Flats. And
just a couple of blocks down from where we're taping right now. Yeah.
And with a lot of elbow grease on both of our parts, we fixed that building up. And around that same time, well, I've always been infatuated with downtown. My dad was the director of State Board of Pharmacy. So mm-hmm. I remember as a young man, we'd come downtown, and I just love the vibrancy and all the stuff that's going on. As you remember, it was kind of a different picture back in those days with some of the titans of business, you know, and all of the big buildings and the lobbies, and how fun it was to be downtown.
Oh, absolutely. I'll digress for a minute. You know, I didn't grow up in Little Rock, but only a little more than an hour away at Arkadelf yet. I have these great memories, and people of our age, Brian, really kind of had those same memories of coming with my mother when she would come to Little Rock to shop, and it was so exciting, and riding the escalators at Blash. You know, that was a big deal for a country boy from Arkadelphia.
Absolutely.
To ride escalators.
Absolutely. So, yeah, those two things were around that time. I was introduced, I was just in the audience, but a couple of times hearing a guy you know named Jimmy Moses.
Mm-hmm.
And Jimmy was giving a slideshow presentation in those days on what makes a great city. And just as a young professional thinking about what Little Rock could be, it just fascinated me, you know, with the river and all that. He was so eloquent in painting that picture of what Little Rock could be. And about at that same time, we had been in our building and were outgrowing it. And so I looked to get into our next building or sell it or whatever. And I knew by that time Jimmy had done the River Market, and I knew our property had gotten a lot more valuable in the 5 years that we were there. So I sold that property, and in the process of selling it, I went to Jimmy, who I didn't really know at that time, and I said, mm-hmm. "Hey, I think I've got something valuable here, but I don't know anything about real estate. What do you think?" And he said, I think you do too. Let's do this project together." And it's now called the Rainwater Flats.
Right, right. So from there, you have bought, you have sold, you have remodeled, I guess it's safe to say, dozens of properties in the neighborhood.
Yep. A lot of them. And, you know, have done some really good stuff, and some stuff hadn't worked out as well as I would have thought it would. But by and large, it's been very satisfying to see, you know, when you did the intro, you talked about the Haybar Group kind of. I do a lot of different things, but it's all around taking something that is kind of messed up and not at the top of its peak, and figuring out how to make it better, and then not only making it better, but then having a financial reward mm-hmm. out of it too.
At the end, yeah. Yeah, well, that makes a lot of sense, and that's why I said a little of that, because you're not exclusively a commercial real estate company, and wanted to make that differentiation there.
That's correct, yeah.
Yeah, all right. So when you look at downtown Little Rock now, in these early months of 2026, what do you see? We had lunch recently and talked about it, and I know one thing you see is there has been, and more coming online, quite a bit of public investment, but you worry about the lack of private investment, I know.
That's right. You know, there's so many good things that Little Rock has, downtown Little Rock specifically, has going for it. First of all, just the natural beauty of it, you know, with the mm-hmm. river and the being the geographic center of the state, and having the capital and all of that here. So we start with a good base, and then we're really blessed by a lot of what I would call institutional focus. We have the presidential library. I mean, how many cities can say that?
And how many that do have them, they're going to do a major expansion. You just don't see that.
That's right.
We've probably got a $200 million plus expansion coming in the Clinton Center.
That's right. And the Museum of Fine Arts is, mm-hmm. is world class. You know, the Stevens really supported that.
Absolutely.
And then of course, I mean, I could go on for days. I mean, there's like the, Central Arkansas Library System, where Nate has
just spent $31 million on their downtown.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Building.
I mean, it's such a great addition to the River Market area. So, but as I look at all of those, and also, you know, you're good to point those out in your columns a lot of times. But I look at them and kind of the flip side of that is I'm worried about private development downtown. Because you don't see a lot of that, and you almost see the opposite of that right now. For a while we were having a lot of state offices leaving downtown. I think that's reversed now, and I think that has changed, and they're committing more to downtown. But then, you know, like First Security Cruise leaving left took a big employer out of downtown.
Absolutely, it did.
And then of course the issues with the River Market, you know, is not at its peak performance right now, I don't see a lot of people longing to be downtown, and we need to make downtown better, which is kind of how I got started into all this.
All right, so where do we start? On top of what we're already doing, I mean, we mentioned the Museum of Fine Arts. I mean, that was about $160 million raised for that. I mentioned the Clinton Center. We're about to have a much-needed $25 million redo in the River Market District of Ottenheimer Hall there. Those are public investments. So if that's not driving private investment, what things do you see that we need to do at this point to drive private investment in downtown Little Rock?
Right. It's going to need a different approach. And backing up maybe just a little bit, a lot of people would say, why downtown? Mm-hmm. You know, why is downtown important? And, you know, I think what people don't understand, you hear a lot of people when there's a project downtown, they say, well, why should we think of that when we ought to address potholes, or we ought to address trash pickup or city services and all of that. And one of the things I don't think people realize is all the city services come out of a tax base. The money for the city has to come from somewhere. The most efficient way to get capital for a city is typically in their downtown, because it's so geographically focused. It's dense population.
Absolutely. I mean, we hear those involved in urban development, of course, use that term infill development, but infill development, to put it simply, Brian, is the street grid is there. The electricity is there. The water and sewer lines are already there. So whether it's residential or whether it's commercial, it's just so much cheaper than cutting down a wooded lot in far west Little Rock and continuing to move west, because that infrastructure already exists.
Absolutely. And, you know, we've got some of these large office buildings that are having vacancy problems. We've had one sold recently for what was a shockingly low figure. And when you think about what just that transaction is going to do to the tax base that building would be giving the city if it was full of people and vibrant. And that money doesn't necessarily stay downtown. It comes from downtown because of the economic activity. If the downtown area was thriving, it could produce more money for the city that could help the entire city, all the different neighborhoods and all of that. So I kind of come from that base that if you're trying to fix some issues all over the city, you ought to start with downtown.
Right.
And downtown
right.
ought to be your focus. Plus just the pride, the civic stuff. I love Tim Griffin's recent quote where he said, nobody ever goes on vacation and comes back and talks about the great strip malls and the suburbs that they were
Absolutely.
In.
Yeah.
You know, downtown is what people identify with. So back to your question of how did this get started? I guess my recent, even though I've always had an affinity for downtown, I haven't really been plugged in to the extent that I have been over the last year. And it really started with a group out of 50 for the Future, where we put together a downtown revitalization task force and started just talking about, what can we do better to help downtown, because several of us were concerned about the lack of private development downtown. And also that was coincided, this was in around June or July of this past year, and we recognized that it had been a year since the downtown master plan was finalized and released. And the questions that we started coming into is, okay, well, what's going on with that? Who knows what about, how that's being implemented? And following up on that question put me in almost daily contact with Gabe Holmstrom of the Downtown Partnership, and with Jay Cheshire and Dean Kampiras, and a lot of different people, excuse me, that have been very supportive and kind of understand, the issues and where we're going, where we're trying to go and what we're trying to accomplish. But the thing that we realized is a pretty simple thesis. There is a lack of an experienced economic development force that is focused on downtown. So, we have a lot of things that surround it. So we have the Chamber of Commerce.
Mm-hmm.
Jay Cheshire and Jack Thomas, the folks over there, do a fantastic job, marketeting our entire city, only our city, our entire region.
Yeah.
And, we get the jobs coming in at the port and
incredible
like
success there in recent years.
But it's really not their charge, and it's not in their wheelhouse. Promoting a downtown and dealing with different tax incentives, complex real estate financing, where you have to pull in public and private stuff and incentives and all that, that's really not in their wheelhouse to focus downtown.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So then you think of the Downtown Partnership,
I was going to say, I know somebody listening out there, the cynics going to say, well, what's the downtown partnership for?
Well, I tell you, I'm the biggest fan of the downtown partnership. Okay. I think they've done a wonderful job. Gabe's done a great job, and now Kyle is off to a good start. And they've been very supportive of this, too. The recognition of the need for, again, it comes back to an experienced economic development force focused on it.
So you're saying their mission is different than economic development?
Their mission is slightly different. What I'm talking about doing could potentially be part of the downtown partnership, or it could be part of the chamber. You could skin a cat a lot of different ways. But, the downtown partnership mainly deals with what I would call placemaking. I mean, they've done an incredible job. Main Street is beautiful, Capitol Avenue is starting to I know that you're, you talk about that a lot.
And absolutely. I sit right here on it every day. Yeah.
We're seeing signs of things starting to happen there. The ambassadors are doing a great job, and that's mostly, controlled by the downtown partnership. And the festivals that they put on always attract a ton of people. The art and murals and things that they do are fantastic. That's very different than someone who is taking an inventory of the state properties that aren't being used or the city properties that aren't being used and figuring out how we can get federal and state grants to attract a developer to make it make sense for somebody to come in and invest their money. They just don't have the financial resources to go out and hire this expertise, and they don't have any internal expertise that is to that level. So that's the missing piece that we don't have and that downtown needs. Now, in part of this journey, we've been encouraged to talk to other cities, and so we've also set up, and Gabe was great at helping out with that. A number of us got on several calls with I think six different cities that we thought had thriving downtowns and were making things happen, and they all did things differently, but again, you had this common element of what I would call intentionality. If you want to make something happen, you've got to have intention.
You've got to have someone focused on doing it. Yeah.
And while we have, I've also met more people in downtown than I have ever in the last 6 months or so. And when I first started this, my reaction when I realized that this power didn't exist, I kind of started thinking about, where are all the private stakeholders downtown? Mm-hmm. Where's the business? Where's the private capital people that are coming in and trying to make things better? And what I learned is there's a lot of them out there. There's a lot of people downtown who I've met who are passionate about wanting to help downtown, but they're not necessarily talking to each other, and they're talking to different people.
Gotcha.
They're expecting things out of the mayor. They're expecting things out of the downtown partnership. They don't know really where to go, and there's not a private sector entity that is kind of aligning their interest, prioritizing things, raising money from them, and all of that.
Yeah. So how do we make that happen? How do we get that entity developed and up and running?
Well, there are in other cities. Entities called a downtown development corporation,
right,
to do this same function, and ironically, if I think half the people in Little Rock were involved in the downtown master plan process. We had tons of committees, a lot of money was spent on that report. Sasaki are experts. I think the master plan is great.
I agree.
If we could follow it, but there's 3 pages in there about implementation. And as we got into this, it kind of slaps you in the face a little bit. When I actually dug into the master plan, the implementation part, the first recommendation, well, there's 2 first recommendations. One is that we've got to we've got to get more incentives. And, you know, there's an effort underway, a constitutional amendment that's going to be coming up that, mm-hmm. that is really important for Arkansas. It will give us the ability to do economic development districts and have incentives that all the states around us have that Arkansas doesn't.
So, absolutely.
So we just, that's so obvious that that's a first thing. But the other first thing that Sasaki recommended to do was to form a downtown development corporation. They specifically in there, you know, it's a big book. It's a big mm-hmm. it's a big report. So you've got to go to the implementation part. But in that, they specifically recognize that Little Rock doesn't have a dedicated economic development force that's focused on downtown. And so they actually recommend a downtown development corporation be created, and they recommend that the downtown development corporation future leader heads up a committee to implement the master plan. So where we are on that is, you know, when that came, everybody was trying to pass the sales tax, and, you know, that of course failed and all that. So there was a delay before anybody really got to it.
Mm-hmm.
The mayor has created a task force to implement the master plan. And I applaud, in the absence of other leadership, I applaud the mayor's, you know, stepping up to do that. But, you know, the mayor's a busy guy. I mean, he's got the whole city to affect.
Right, and just downtown.
He's got the issues. We all know the issues of that he has to deal with, you know, with whether it's crime or public service, city services, and all of that kind of stuff. You know, economic development is not he's got financial background, but he's not an expert in that, and we don't have anybody focused on doing that. So now, don't get me wrong, the city is incredibly instrumental and will be instrumental in helping bring these plans to life, because, you know, whether it's changing one-way streets or different things that Sasaki recommended to do the infrastructure of downtown, the city and the parks department, public works, all of that are going to be instrumental in doing that. So we all need to be on the same page. But what we're missing, and what Sasaki pointed out, and kind of it comports with what we've learned from talking to other cities that we want to be more like, is that we don't have an economic development team focused mm-hmm. on downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about, like,
I was going to ask you, you know, you talked about talking to five or six different cities. Was there one, two of those that really stood out in your mind and you say to yourself, Little Rock, this is where we should be looking. This is how you do downtown economic development.
What really struck me is the things that they have that we don't, because they have a focus on this. So all mm-hmm. like I said, all of them are a little bit different. But one of the things, I guess the thing that stuck out the most is, if you've got a downtown development corporation, you've got to have a capital stack. You've got to have money. Anything in this world, you've got to have money to affect things.
Yep.
And so one of their focuses is on how they can obtain that capital stack, whether it's through philanthropic donations, whether it's from federal and state grants. A lot of them actually have they create their own fees by they put together real estate deals and make fees off of them in order to then take the fees and do things like facade improvements, like a $10,000 mm-hmm. grant. If somebody's built front of their building looks bad and they submit a proposal, and then they can give a small $5,000, $10,000 grant. In part in that capital stack, so it's not the whole thing, but just a part of the capital stack in every place, is what is called a business improvement district. Not everybody knows what those even are, but a business improvement district is typically where a group, and these are usually in downtowns, not necessarily.
Right.
But to make things work in downtown, there is a plan that someone puts together that they want to do. They want to spend money on a certain section of town. And so they talk all of the people in that geographic area where they designate And they essentially create a tax on themselves to fund a program to be able to do things better and make things look nicer or whatever. So, and it's pretty universal in every city. They either have a major one or they have several sub districts and minor areas, but they get, I honestly don't know what the stat is, but my guess is a third of their revenue from a business improvement district.
Yeah. A lot of us, again, of a certain age, Brian, remember the old Metro Center Mall, an improvement district there. Where does that fit into this picture?
Well, that...
Because I know some people, as they hear you mention improvement district, bring that up.
That is it. And it certainly is a lightning rod issue, because the Metro Center Improvement District is essentially all we have downtown. Mm-hmm. I think there's a small one in the Soma area.
It does still exist, though.
But the Metro, and that's all we got. Mm-hmm. So it was formed in 1973, and it's still here. That improvement district is what created the Metro Center Mall, the indoor mall, and then the brick pavements and all that. Really good intentions, really good projects. As people coming together, you got to admire the leadership on that. Unfortunately, a lot of that didn't work out after a period of time. But it was the national trend at the time, and there was a lot of good thought put into it. So I haven't followed it over these 50 years, but where it is today is one of the long-term flaws it had when it was created, the funding mechanism or the tax mechanism taxed more heavily at Capital and Main, and then there was concentric circles that were drawn outside. So the closer you were to Capital and Main,
the higher percentage you paid. Yeah.
And over a time period, Capital and Main has not been where the good development
not been where the action is. Yeah.
There's a sense of there's people paying in one part of town a lot more, and development's happening in another part of downtown. And so there is some real, I think a friendly word to talk about the Metro Center Improvement District is that it's been dysfunctional.
Mm-hmm.
And where in other downtowns, when you talk to a Tulsa or even like a Chattanooga, which is smaller than us, or you know, Des Moines or some of the other cities that we talk to, you know, they're getting millions of dollars off of their business improvement districts. And while there's always people that might disagree, the majority of folks recognize that as a good thing, that I'm being taxed because it's actually providing services. In Little Rock, we don't have that good feeling about the Metro Center Improvement District. And it is now, they've at least tamped down what they're taxing people, but it's now kicking off a whopping total of $85,000 a year.
That's it. Wow.
And that, you know, helps fund. It's a part of what funds the ambassadors and some of the stuff that the Downtown Partnership does.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get into that, there's some strong feelings downtown. Some people think we need to expand that, grow it. Other people, you know, it needs to die and be gone, you know, as soon as possible. But the fact is, if you're going to have a nice downtown, a business improvement district is a big part of it. So we've got to figure out.
So whether it's expanding Metro Center or whether it's killing it off and creating a new one, you're saying, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you're saying we need an improvement district and it needs to be much broader geographically than what we have now.
It probably does. And it could come across in a number of forms, either it could be expanded if there's so much pushback on Metro Center. I've tried to encourage people, maybe we need an East Village Improvement District.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we need a West of Broadway Improvement District. Or maybe we could have sub-districts and it feed up into one. I'm sure there's a lot of different ways we can do this. But the main thing is we need an improvement district. It needs to generate a whole lot of more money. That money needs to be targeted towards something that the people who are paying the improvement district tax realize is a benefit. We need to somehow make this be where the people recognize a benefit. There needs to be a customer service aspect of it.
Yeah. One area where we have really trailed behind a lot of cities that are doing well downtown, and again, we want to go back to where we started. There are a lot of exciting things happening downtown.
Absolutely.
But one area where we have trailed is the number of downtown residents, those people that will give 24-hour life to a neighborhood and bring in the pharmacies, bring in the grocery stores, what have you. Do you see anything there? You mentioned Jimmy Moses, and I think of the great work that he and Rhett Tucker did over many years of bringing people downtown. But still, it's not that many when you look at a lot of other cities our size and larger.
That's right, and that was one of Sasaki's main findings too. In the area that they drew, the kind of the core district downtown, I think they identified 4,000 residents.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that needs to be 3, 4, 5 times that amount.
Yep.
And so we talked about, you know, there's been new residential development over the last 30 years. A lot of it goes back to Rhett and Jimmy's projects, the towers, but it's been high-rise condos, you know,
right,
that are expensive and all of that. And Sasaki says, well, you know, we need to figure out a way to have regular apartments, regular housing stuff more in the core downtown. But, you know, people want to live where it's nice. And so you've got to make it nice. You've got to make it attractive.
Great point. So where do you start there? And maybe you go back to a lot of what you're talking about, getting some of that private investment, and then the residential will follow.
That's right. And, you know, we do have Pace Burt.
Yeah,
I always get confused with
Albany, Georgia. Yeah,
we're you know, lucky he came into town, and he's you know, remodeled old VA and done a tremendous job, and then now is working on the old AT&T building,
which is very exciting for Capitol Avenue.
But you look at the AT&T building, and it's positioned perfectly on Capitol Avenue,
mm-hmm,
with Capitol and all that, state Capitol. But you look at the walkability around there, and it's kind of concerning. You know, there's not a lot of restaurants and things like there that would attract
a lot
people.
Of empty, ugly parking lots, and hopefully that will lead to more.
So the question is how do
West Capitol?
How do you attract? I mean, how do you attract restaurants, retail? How do you attract all of those things to fill in that area around where the AT&T building is, or anywhere, mm-hmm, downtown? And I think it's not a stretch to say that the first thing you got to do is be intentional about it. You know, you got to have somebody that's thinking about, you know, how do we do this? And that's what I found, that there is an absence of experience, private economic development folks that are encouraging developers and just figuring out how to make it work.
We're running out of time. I knew it'd go fast. I'm going to have to get you back because we could talk about this all day. Overall, where we are now, what you see coming down the pike. I know you're a realist when it comes to downtown. You're pragmatic, but would you say you're overall optimistic with what you think can happen in the next 5-10 years in this neighborhood?
I am, and you know, through this process, I've become more optimistic and a little more concerned too, a little on both sides, but I'm really optimistic of the people that we have here and the leaders downtown. Again, my interactions, whether it's been with the Downtown Partnership or the Chamber or 50 for the Future, other groups, there's a lot of people that want better for downtown. I think that's the first place to start.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have, again, these institutions that we talked about that are committed and anchoring here. And so if we can just get all of the people that want to see good things happen downtown, if we can get them aligned together, and that's going to take some work by somebody rolling up their sleeves and having conversations and, you know, kind of navigating all of that, and that has that experienced, complex real estate development background that can figure out how to put these things together. If you can marry those things and maybe throw in a little bit of convincing the broader public why downtown is important, even if you're out in Southwest Little Rock or out in West Little Rock or whatever, downtown is important to every neighborhood, mm-hmm, in the city. And we've got to communicate that better somehow.
Absolutely. Brian, thank you for your time. I've
you
really
bet.
Enjoyed
thank
the conversation. Hope we can do it again in the future. Brian Hosto, our guest on this edition of the Southern Fried Podcast. Thank you for joining us. This has been a production of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette.